Very simple to find. Verse number 1. Proverbs 14, verse number 1 says, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands." Let's read that again. "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You. We have the privilege, the opportunity to be in the house of the Lord on this day that's been designated as Mother's Day. Lord, we thank You for a time that we can honor them. We thank You for a time that we can really emphasize the wondrous work that they do. Now, Father, today I pray that You might teach us from Your Word. I pray that through it that You would be glorified. And, Lord, most of all, that our homes might become more solid for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray it in His name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. I believe today that there's an attack by Satan on the home and the family. I believe that that enters then into the Bible-believing church. And I believe that this battle that we are facing, this attack has escalated in recent years. And perhaps will continue to do so as our age draws to a close. This once subtle attack on women has grown to motherhood. This attack's grown into marriage and even to the traditional role of women. I read this and I thought I would read it for you. A censer taker came to a house. This is what the lady said. He said, "Your occupation, please." This census-taking guy, I started to enumerate and said quite frankly, "I wash the dishes, scrub the floors, shine the windows, polish doors, bathe 3 children, wipe their noses, work a little in the roses, do the washing, iron the clothes, pick up playthings, mend the hose, sweep out daily, mend their breeches, sew a dress with tiny stitches, nurse a sick one, make the beds, kits hurt places, shampoo heads, wash the blood off, hunt the mittens, wipe up their pups and kittens, tuck in covers, hear each prayer, brag a little, ease a care, take your pick, I get no pay, but that's what I do every day." He listened carefully. "That's why I'm so annoyed, because that man just scribbled down, housewife, unemployed." That is the attitude today. Ladies, housewives are well employed. The design, I believe, is to convert our once strong patriarchal system, the authority that we find with the man and thus the woman under the man, I believe it is to convert it into the third world, make us a third world matriarchal type of society of unbiblical proportions. Today, the idea of Mrs. Cleaver is the object of liberalism's scorn and their ridicule. But I'm here today to tell you I believe in the old-fashioned values and the Word of God and what He has to say about this. And God's design has not changed, and His Word is just as relevant today as when He gave it to us by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. We find that the Bible teaches us in Proverbs 14 and verse 1 that a woman was made to build her house. We're not talking about the sticks and the stones. We're talking about the people. We're talking about the husband. We're talking about the children. We're talking about those who are living in that house. I find from the Word of God that God wants you, ladies, to have as a priority your family. A priority is in the home. It's not your career. I'm sorry to burst your bubble. It is that place that God has called you, called the home, and God wants you to build it and to build it well. I believe that the calling to be a wife and a mother is a holy calling. I believe it's without precedence. I don't believe anything ought to get in its way. And as we study Scriptures and as we look at primarily the book of Proverbs in chapter 31, we look at Ephesians 5 and Titus 2, I believe we have given to us some principles whereby a wise woman is to build her house. Remember again what that verse says, every wise woman buildeth her house. But we also notice on the negative side, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. There are homes today that are being built, but sad to say, there are homes today that are being destroyed. We find those that are standing solid, and we find those that have no roots whatsoever. And so for us to look at this and to consider the Scripture, I believe that if we're going to find wise women, we're going to find those who are going to be building with sacrifice in their hearts. They build sacrificially. When you come to the book of Titus, matter of fact, why don't you turn back there to that great book, Titus in chapter number 2, you go to 1st, 2nd Timothy, and then you come to the book of Titus, one of the pastoral epistles. And in verse number 3 of chapter 2, it talks about the aged women. Now, I don't know where that starts. If you feel old this morning, I guess this is talking to you. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Now, notice what they are to teach. In verse 4 and 5, he tells us here that God has given to you a responsibility to teach the young women. Now, first of all, he talks about something they are to be, and we'll get to that in a moment. But notice, secondly, to love their husbands and to love their children. We find here that she is one who is to build her house sacrificially. You say, how do you say that? Because love is always with sacrifice. Love is always giving unto the other one. In the Word of God, in the book of 1 Corinthians 13, we find that the word or the great topic of love is discussed. And in that chapter, we find that God has given to us the word charity. And that word charity is talking about love in action. It is that which is giving. It's that which is sacrificing of itself. I cannot count the number of times I've seen my wife and I've seen you ladies do something like this. And that is, a child comes up and you're eating something and man, you're enjoying it and they want a bite. You'd like to say, get out of here. This is my supper. That's what I say. But my wife doesn't do that. She is very immediate to what? Sacrifice that. It is love that you just don't find in other creatures like you do in mothers. But it's that which is going to build in lives. Women teach that, they are to be taught that love to their husbands and to their children. And that comes from the older women. She has to learn that love is more than just a gushy feeling. Now, we have a newly married couple this morning. I'm so blessed that they came to church on the day after their marriage. A lot of couples, they would be holed up somewhere, holding each other's hand, kissing each other's cheek, you know. But they made it God's will to come to the house of God today. I commend you, Christopher and Jennifer, for that. But I also have to say to Jennifer, you know, right now it's a wonderful feeling. But one of these days you're going to come home and Christopher, he just got home from work and he's going to be smelling, he's going to be tired, he's going to be, you know, just a little bit nauseated with everything that you have. And you're going to have to find out that love is sacrificial. Mm-hmm. And it's not all that gushiness inside. And so that's the job of our ladies here to kind of help you with that kind of a thing. But she builds in that life. She has to learn that love is sacrificing all of their being for the well-being of their husband and of their children. Even though sometimes those little ones can be quite annoying. Amen. Even though sometimes you'd like to pull your hair out. Even though sometimes you wonder, why did I ever have those? We have a mother to be. She's all excited. I'm going to have a baby. I'd like to know in about a year how she's feeling. Because, you know, about 3 months, 4 months, we're going to be here. And, oh, my goodness, I've been up all night. And now I've got to stay up all day long. And what a bummer this is, you know. But nonetheless, it's sacrificial. Real love is not about receiving, but it's about giving. And it's about giving when you... No, you might not even get any benefits from it. But a wise woman, she is going to build understanding. It's going to be tremendous sacrifice. But I believe something else. And perhaps for the heart of my message, the last 2 points, and that is this. She's going to build with character. She's going to build with character. If a woman does not have character, she's not going to build character into her children. If a woman does not have character, she probably won't have a husband too long. So she needs to build with character. If you notice there in chapter 2 and verse number 4, it says there that they are to teach the young women to be sober. Then to love their husbands, to love their wives. But then notice, he goes back to and says to be. These are things that are your character. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. Good. The next one is not a bee. It's something else we're going to look at here in just a moment. But we notice here five things that he tells us that we are to build with. First of all, he says to be sober. One is to be sober. Now, most folks, they say, well, that means you're not drunk. Well, that's a true statement, but it's more than that. To be sober is of a sound mind. It is to have stable passions. It's to be calm. I'll tell you what, when you have a child that's about 3 years old and they just come marching in the house and blood's dripping out of everywhere, calmness is not one of the qualities you're thinking of at the moment. But you have to meet it with a certain calmness, do you not? I mean, if you go into frantic hysteria, that child is not going to be taken care of. And so there has to be this kind of sobriety in your life, that calmness, to be able to meet all of those kinds of disasters that come to the house. And so we build with character. I remember so well coming in with some kind of an owie. Every owie I had was major. It was like having major surgery. How many remember those days? Okay, most of your memory has lapsed. I can tell your arms are still broken. You can't get them up. But I can remember those days. And so, you know, one of the first things my mother would say, she would comfort me. She never got all upset, never got really in a tizzy about this. I remember coming in one time, my horse had raked me up against a wire hog fence and it tore my pants wide open. I was more disgusted because they were my brand new jeans and had torn a piece about that long and about an eighth of an inch wide in my thigh. Now, you got to understand something. This is like 1951, 1952. ER was not a word. It was not even a thought. Okay? An emergency room was just, you know, I didn't know there was such a thing. Emergency room for me at that particular moment was in the bathroom while my mother, and very meticulously, would wipe out the wound, and then she would get the methylate. How many remember methylate? It's a orange-yellowish substance that brings greater pain than you already had. And her comforting words were always this, son, it has to hurt a little bit more before it will feel better. And then she would always say this. This was always so comforting. Son, there are going to be a lot worse things in life. I thought, how can anything be worse than this? But she always did this with such a mildness and this kind of reserve. And I just thank God that I was able to grow up in a home where my mother was sober. Not only sober from drink, but also had this sobriety about her interactions. She is to build with character. The word discreet is given to us here. It is the ability to make distinctions. Distinctions between right and wrong. Distinctions as to whether Sally's right or Joey's right. You know, to make the distinction as to what is taking place. It's the use of knowledge in judgment, to make those judgments of what is correct and proper. Proverbs says that thou mayest regard discretion, that thy lips may keep knowledge. And if we're going to build character or build with character, we must have that discretion within our lives. By the way, only God gives us these things in the proportion that we need, and how we need to look at this, ladies, and by the way, gentlemen as well, and say, God, help me with these kinds of things. Build them into my life. Notice he says here, chaste. They are to be chaste. Pure moral fiber. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? God has brought you about to be a pure individual, be given to that man to keep that morality and that moral fiber there, that you might be able to hand that down as a gift to your children as well. And then he says, keepers at home. We probably ought to skip that one because it won't be very popular and we'd like to cross that out of their Bibles. But it's still there in the Word of God. And it means workers at home. It's their primary place of employment. And that fellow, that census taker who said housewife unemployed was absolutely wrong. It is where God wants us to be in that primary occupation, keepers at home. And it's a wonderful spot to be able to have and to initiate that into the lives. And then we notice the word good. By the way, did you know good and God are out of the same root? And good is being godly. And the main idea here is that we have, in the face of adversity, the strength of God to stand. How is she to build? It is with character. With character. Character comes as we get in contact with the Lord. As He builds that into us. We find in the book of Galatians chapter 5 that the fruit of the Spirit, and we find there the character traits that are given of those 9 fruits. Love, joy, and peace, and long-suffering. These things that God wants to build into our lives if we allow Him. And thus then, we are to build then with character in our lives. Ladies, God has given you a wonderful position. It's a position where you can build your house. How are you going to do it? It's going to be sacrificially. It's a giving up of your independence. It's giving up of some of your dreams and desires that you might be that individual that brings love to the husband and to those children and see them being raised for the cause of Christ. And then number 3, I believe that she is to build under authority. Well, we better cross out this portion because this is not popular today, but still in the Word of God. And I believe we've got to preach it. I believe we need to be living it. The biggest area that I believe modern women are plucking down their relationship with their husband and their nurture of their children is in this area of not building under authority. You see, God has made man to be the head of the family. God has placed woman to be under His authority. I notice that sometimes when I perform weddings, that when I will use the word obey, sometimes I've gotten laughter. I've actually heard from some of our folks who sat next to people who ridiculed the idea. But you know, it's still in the Bible. It's still in God's Word. Hey, are you still in Titus by any chance? Oh my goodness, are you still there? Verse number 5, notice what it says, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Obedience to their husbands. I believe the command is clear. And the woman who disobeys, I want to share with you 3 things that I believe she does, 4 things I believe she does to her home. Number 1, I believe she brings into that home confusion. Confusion. The command is clear. The command from God is that women are or wives are to submit themselves to their husbands as unto the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3 says, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." By the way, ladies, you say, you're my husband, he's completely free. No, he's under the headship of Christ. I am answerable as father of my family directly to Jesus Christ. If I mess up, I'm answerable to Him. By the way, I would rather be answerable to a person than Jesus. Okay? But it brings confusion in the family. The Bible says where envy and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. When that wife is in a disaccordance with her husband, there brings this confusion because there's strife, there's envy, and we find that major problems take place. Understand something in our age. The average home in the United States of America is being run by the mothers. Now, I realize the Bible says to be built, but that's being run. What I mean by that, they are the authority. They are the one in charge. Now, they do have authority over their children, but she's to have that authority under the direction of her husband. As a result of this, we find that our children are in tremendous rebellion throughout our country. Why? They have learned it from Mama, who was in rebellion to her husband. Many of them such rebellion, they no longer have him. And we find our homes in tremendous disarray. A wife who is not under authority not only brings confusion to the family, but I believe it also allows Satan to have an advantage. You see, when I go to the book of Ephesians, I find there, and as I explained in Sunday school this morning, it tells us we're to be filled with the Spirit of God. That's not an option. For the Christian, that is a command. We are to be filled with the Spirit of God. When we're filled with the Spirit of God, there are three things that are going to take place. One of those, there's going to be a song in the heart. I find folks say, "Boy, I'm being led of the Spirit of God," but there's no song in their heart. All I can say is, liar, liar. Because there'll be a song in your heart. That's what the Bible says. When we're filled with the Spirit of God, there's going to be a thankfulness. I mean, we're going to be thankful for everything. Give thanks, He says, for all things. Yeah. And there's going to be that spirit of thankfulness because that's a part of the Spirit of God. And then there's the submissiveness. As He says, we will submit ourselves one to another. And then in the very next verse, it begins with specific areas of submission. It says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands in the Lord." Okay? And so we find that a part of God's plan and the leadership of the Spirit of God is to what? Be under authority. It goes on, by the way, and talks about children to their parents. It talks about employees to their employers in that particular text. But wives who are not under authority then give Satan the advantage. Rather than giving the Spirit of God the advantage, the complete opposite takes place and Satan has the advantage in the home. And again, we find that the homes are being destroyed by the foolish ones who are what? Plucking up with their very hands by walking out from underneath the protection that God gives. I know there'll be some woman said, "But you don't know my husband, how stupid he is." Yeah, I do. He picked you. Ouch. But I want you to notice the Scripture in verse 5. Because this one concerns me most of all. In Titus 2 and verse number 5, "Obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed." That the Word of God be not blasphemed. Do we recognize that when we step outside of the boundaries of authorities that God has placed over us, whether it be the wife to her husband or the husband to Christ, do we not recognize it removes then the effectiveness of the Word of God in our homes? Because we're not operating in accordance with the Word of God. We operate outside of the Word of God in our daily lives. And we're putting ourselves in tremendous jeopardy because we're making ineffective the Word of God. I've heard people say, "My goodness, we taught our children, we did this, we did that, we took them to church, we did the other thing." Yes, but in the home, you two are incompatible because the wife didn't want to submit, and maybe the husband didn't want to lead or couldn't. And as a result, the home was destroyed. There must be God's order. And the wise woman is going to build under authority. If she does not, it brings blasphemy to the Word of God. It becomes the seedbed of unbelief in their children. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2 and 3. Listen to these words. Ye are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Forasmuch as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. You know what he's saying here? He's saying to these Corinthians, you are our epistles. It is your life that is going to reach into your families and into your community. That's what's going to do it. I've heard Christians ridicule lifestyle evangelism. Now, the reason they ridicule lifestyle evangelism, because there are those who say, well, that's all you got to do is live a good life and wait till somebody comes up to you and wants to know why you're living like that, and then you can tell them about Jesus. And we ought to be telling them about Him to start with. Okay? But if you're telling them about Him and you don't have the life to go with it, they're not going to listen. They're not going to listen. And we can teach our children all sorts of things, but if we're not living in harmony in our homes, it will not take place. Let's understand something. You cannot have two heads. Anything that's born with two heads is a monster. It is unnatural. And it does not work. And a home that has two heads does not work. You say, well, we both make decisions. A good husband's going to seek his wife's thoughts and her advice because she knows that she's got that. And they work together by all means. But ultimately, he is the one that's responsible. Ultimately, he's the one that's held in account to Christ. And the woman who builds under his authority is demonstrating something that will be a lifelong lesson. Ephesians chapter 5. In that chapter, it talks about wives being submission to their husbands. But in that chapter, he illustrates with this. He illustrates the husband and the wife as being characteristic of Christ and His church. As the husband is to the wife, so is Christ to His church. Last week, I received in the mail a program that somebody wanted to, I'm getting these all the time, wanted to inaugurate because they have a concern. Their concern is that so many kids graduate from high school and then you never see them in church anymore. And they wanted to somehow try to change that. God has a program for changing that. And the reason, by the way, that it's gotten this place is because Christ is the head of the church as the Father is the head of the home. And it got to this place because there were mothers who were plucking it down with their hands, stealing the authority of her husband and doing it her way. And we've seen the demise of the home. I say thank God for those women who are willing to not surrender, but submit to their husband's authority. Surrender's after a battle. Submission is an act of the will. Allowing Him to be the leader. And in those homes, the woman is able to build. And the right relationship is seen. And those children can understand Christ is the head. And they're not going to bail out on the church. Because they've seen the right relationship. What's the thought here today? This is Mother's Day. We thank God for them. But mothers, what kind are you? We need to take inventory, amen? We have to look at these things and say, hey, is there some areas we need to shore up? Am I a wise woman? Am I building my house or am I plucking it down? And though we've spoken to ladies in this sense, I would say this. We have some real mealy-mouthed, namby-pamby men who are walking around that need to get a backbone. And some men who need to learn how to love their wives and to honor them and appreciate them. Because three times in the same text where God says one time, wives, be in submission to your husbands, it says, husbands, love your wife. Our homes need repaired. It will only happen as we do it God's way. Some of you might be sitting here and say, well, we made a shambles out of it. That may be true, but it doesn't have to stay that way. Doesn't have to stay that way. You can clean up a house. When my wife and I first got married, it was our second year, I believe, maybe our third year. We have some very good friends. Name is Paul and Janie Carrier. And Paul's a big guy, strong. Janie is not short or anything like that, but very feminine. A real lady. And she'd been raised in a very nice home. And they had been living in this house, and the people that owned it were now moving back and wanted the house. And so they decided to come to the area that all of us were at. And many of us lived in duplexes in an area of town. It wasn't the greatest area, but we kind of protected each other. And what they would do is, if we were a student at the school we were at, I mean, there was a place available, we went to the top of the list because they knew we'd take care of them. And they knew we'd pay our bills. Matter of fact, if we didn't pay our bills, we got kicked out of school. Yeah. If we didn't take care of business, Dr. Malone said, if you can't take care of your business, you have no business being in ministry. You're gone. Bye-bye. And so they knew that. I never seen a house like this. They moved in. It was a half block from us. And we went over to help them clean up. I'm about to describe D. You might want to close your ears. The people who had lived in this house had honestly had I don't know how many dogs. And they let their dogs do what dogs do wherever they wanted to do it. And then they walked in it. It was meshed into the steps. The house was an absolute filthy, smelly mess. But it was either take it or leave it. So we got all cleansers known to mankind. Brushes and scrapers, literally took paint scrapers and scraped it off to start with. But I saw in a matter of just a few days that messy, horrible looking place turn into a beautiful living quarter. Things can be changed. And your home can change. We allow God to become the real leader of it. As husbands, realize you're responsible to Christ. Your actions will be held in account. And moms, you're responsible to Him. He's the authority in the house. And children who have a mom and dad like that, recognize authority much faster than other homes. Because they know. Father, today I pray You work in our hearts. Lord, we've not really preached the gospel. We've really not talked about how You are a wondrous Savior. But God, we've dealt with some very, very hard elements that need to be dealt with in our homes. First of all, Lord, I'm so thankful for the women who demonstrate what I've preached here today. I'm so thankful that in this church there are so many who I could point to as prime examples, and You've blessed in their homes. But, O Lord, no doubt under the sound of my voice, there are some who, without realizing, are plucking their house down. Without realizing that perhaps they are bringing destruction. God, I pray You help them to see that. Lord, we know that there's an attack upon our homes. We know that You established it way back in the Garden of Eden. It's Your design. It was according to Your purpose. You created man, and then from his side You brought forth a woman to be his helpmeet, that which was suitable, that which was fit for him, that which made both of their lives complete. Lord, how we thank You for Your marvelous plan. I pray, O God, that You might work in our hearts. No doubt there are needs here, things that must be transformed, things that need to be changed. Perhaps there's one under the sound of my voice today that needs Christ as their Savior. Most of all, they need their destination changed. Their sin is fast taken to hell. Oh, God, I pray that You might help them to see there's a Savior. Work in our hearts today, I pray, in Jesus' holy, precious name. Amen. I'd like for us to stand, please.